This is lesson number 3 in the Baptist Basics University course, Baptist History. And this is going to be lesson number 3. I've already said that, but this is going to be lesson number 3. And we're going to deal with Baptist origins. And usually, to be honest with you, I don't really care what opinions are. I want to know what the facts are. I want to know what the truth is. In the case of Baptist history, I do feel that it is very good to know the different theories that people hold in where Baptists came from. I think that it really helps you, especially when you go to studying this out, to help you pick up on who a particular historian, what a particular historian believes and the view that they hold, because whatever view they hold will influence the entire work. So, we're just going to look at this, and I hope this will be helpful to you. It'll probably be a pretty short lesson, but I think it's very, very important information, and something that honestly most Baptist history books kind of skip over. Now, I am indebted for a lot of this information to a book titled "The History of the Baptist" by a man named Robert Torbett. I believe that's how you say his name: Torbett. His Baptist history book, I think, it was printed back in the 60s or 70s, I believe. Let me look here. I didn't write down what year it was done. I talk a little bit about him in the appendix when I talk about the other Baptist history books. I picked up that book at a used bookstore, and he did actually cover this. I can't say I agree totally with his theory, but anyway, he did cover this, and I think this is very good information. A lot of this is actually based on what he has in his book. The first thing we'll look at is the successionist view. This view maintains that there has been an unbroken line of Baptist churches and or doctrine throughout the centuries. Essentially, this view proposes that there has always been Baptists and Baptist churches all the way since the first church in Jerusalem. I like to say the first Baptist church in Jerusalem, but that may be a little overly biased. But there are a few variations of this view, and we'll talk a little bit about this real quick, because just because you believe in Baptist succession doesn't mean you always believe the same thing. So there's a few different ones. Here's four that are fairly common. One is apostolic succession. And this is that these views and doctrines have been passed down through the authority of setting aside men through ordination and laying on of hands. Now, you don't see this one a whole lot, but basically this says, you know, that the apostles set aside some men to carry on the work, who set aside some men to carry on the work, who set aside some men to carry on the work, and that continued all the way down, and these men were entrusted with the doctrines, and there's an unbroken line through those men in that leadership. You don't hear that one very much. I think that is very, very difficult to prove historically, because, you know, it's not ordination or the laying on of hands that makes a Baptist. It is the Bible and what the Bible teaches that makes somebody a Baptist. So I think that's very difficult to hold to. Another one is baptismal succession, and that is that, honestly, your baptism isn't valid unless you can trace it all the way back up to, you know, John the Baptist or Jesus. Well, that one is also pretty doggone hard to prove when you think of how persecuted groups were and stuff. I do believe that to be properly baptized, you need to have a proper candidate. You need to have a proper administrator, I guess you could say. And you need to have a proper mode and a proper even doctrinal basis for it. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I think needs to be right. But it is probably impossible to trace back and say that the preacher that baptized you was baptized by that guy who was baptized by that guy and go all the way back through 2,000 years to John the Baptist. That is very, very, very difficult to do, practically impossible. Church records were not kept that well, except for the past few hundred years. In fact, they probably wouldn't have kept church records most of the time because that just gave them names and addresses for them to come hunt you down if they ever got a hold of the church records. So, but that is one you will see. Some of the landmarker churches hold to a form of that. As I would like to think that that's true, but, and my theology says it better be. I'm just saying that it's probably very, very difficult to prove. There's also church succession, and that is that there's churches, you know, this church influenced that church, who influenced that church, and brought in this guy who was pretty close to being right, but they brought him in, influenced him, and corrected him, and got him going right. Well, and these different local congregations have been followed down. That one, I like to hold. I'm probably closer holding that to that one than any of the rest of these. I think that's a pretty good one. But as I say, Baptists have spontaneously appeared just through reading the Bible or getting hold of a book or something. So it's a little bit hard to even hold to that. But that's probably closer to what I believe than any of these. The fourth one, and this is one that's really sneaky and hard to pick up on, and that is a doctrinal succession. Doctrinal succession. Succession, not secession. We're not talking Civil War. Succession. This is through the passing on of principles and teachings and doctrines and beliefs. And a great many Baptists in their Baptist history books hold to a form of this, in my opinion. They'll say that there's just always been groups that believed like us, whether they be the Waldensians or the Paulicians or the Anabaptists or the Garden Brethren or whoever they were. They just say, well, the doctrines have always existed all the way back, and you can kind of trace the line of the doctrines all the way back. Well, I do believe that doctrines have been passed down since the early church, but I think there's definitely a lot more to it than that. But I kind of get a little critical of some of these, but those are the four basic ideas of succession of Baptists. Now, let me give you, and I'm going to do this for every point, I'm going to give you just a few authors and their works. You will sometimes run across some of these, and these are these authors hold to these views. And honestly, in this case, most of these guys are pretty good from what I've read. The first one is G.H. Orchard. I have down, he wrote A Concise History of Foreign Baptists. I believe he also wrote one about British Baptists. I may be wrong about that. But his book I've looked at a little bit. It's pretty good. J.M. Cramp, author of Baptist History, From the Foundation of the Christian Church to the Close of the 18th Century. Older book, pretty sure that one's out of print. William Cathcart, editor of the Baptist Encyclopedia, that has been reprinted through the Lifeline Ministries publishers. I can't remember what it's called, Lifeline Philippines Ministry. It's a very interesting book, just kind of like a who's who of Baptists, and very interesting. I believe it's a 2-volume deal. But very interesting book if you can get a hold of it. The other one is John T. Christian. Now, John T. Christian, I don't have his books. I would love to have them. He's probably the most recent of these guys in this list. John T. Christian was a professor at the New Orleans Baptist Seminary. I believe his name of it is in New Orleans. And he wrote a pretty well-regarded history of the Baptist, and he probably more so than anybody else goes through and tries to defend the Baptist positions the way I would do it, you know, very logically and getting a lot of and sourcing most of his statements. So from what I have seen of his book, I'd love to have a hard copy edition of his book. I think you can actually find some of it online. But his book is titled A History of the Baptist. Most of them are called A History of the Baptist, Baptist History, etc. So, but those are a few authors. If you want to study this out or you see their names or see them quoted, that's the general philosophy behind their work is one of Baptist succession, that the Baptists have always existed and they have directly come down. Another one you will sometimes see is a what's called the spiritual kinship view. Now, this view holds that Baptists were a group that began through the influence of many groups, especially the Anabaptists. Basically, what this holds to is that the Baptists were the latest in a long line of various independent movements, including groups like the Anabaptists or the Waldensians. What this position holds basically is just that the good church throughout church history was the independent groups, and that the modern incarnation of them has been the Baptist. That's essentially what this is. This essentially traces the truth through the independent groups, not the Catholic Church or the even the really predominant groups that would come out, like the Lutherans and the Church of England and such, the Greek Orthodox, etc. But what this does is basically all these little fringe groups and fringe movements, these are the ones that really kept the truth alive. It's kind of a conspiracy theory type of a philosophy. Kind of gets almost a little hippie on me, the way I feel about it. It's almost like all the little fringe groups are the ones that are right. But that just says, you know, that Baptists just took the best of all the independent groups and made their own denomination. So basically what this says is that Baptists, yeah, they share some heritage and some influence with the earlier groups, but essentially Baptists are only about 400 years old, which is what the last few we'll talk about is. But it's very, very similar to it. But this one places a lot more emphasis in that they did carry on some of the traditions of some of these other independent groups, which I believe are in the Baptist line of succession. So, a few church historians who promote this, if you see these books, David Benedict. Now, to be honest with you, from a lot of stuff I've read, I would place him under the first view, but according to Mr. Torbay, he places them in this group. I don't have his book, so I can't authoritatively agree, but I'm just saying from where I've seen him quoted and such, I would probably place him under the first one. But his book is off. He actually has a few different books. You'll see him on a few different Baptist topics, but A General History of the Baptist Denomination in America and Other Parts of the World. Big, long title there. Richard B. Cook, I'm not familiar with his book, but it's titled The Story of the Baptist in All Ages and Countries. Thomas Armitage, author of A History of the Baptist. You will see his name every now and then. That's a pretty well-respected work. And Albert H. Newman, author of A History of Anti-Pedobaptism. Kind of a strange name. Or basically saying he's against baptizing kids is what that is about, or baptizing babies. I'm not familiar with that work either. Those are just books, as I say, that Robert Torbay brings about. So if you really want to get hardcore and start studying this stuff, you might run across a few of these names, and hopefully it'll help you and kind of understand where they're coming from. The last view we're going to look at, and I'm checking my time here. We're about 13 and a half minutes in, so I figured this would probably be a very, very short lesson. But the last view is the separatist view. And this is the prevailing modern opinion among Baptist scholars, especially the Southern Baptist Convention and some of these larger conventions and associations. This view holds that Baptists did not exist in any form before the 1600s, when they started as part of the English separatist movement. The English separatists included groups kind of like the Puritans and such, but let's explain this. At the time, in the 1500s, 1600s, you had the Church of England. They basically, let's go back a little bit further. Henry VIII wanted a divorce. England was Catholic. The Pope said, you can't get divorced. Divorce is wrong. So Henry VIII said, well, I'll start my own church in. They'll let me have a divorce. So he founded the Church of England. That is historical. That's a pretty quick and cliff note version of it, but that's basically what happened. Well, they kept a lot of the Catholic traditions, just like every other Protestant type group did. And they did infuse some Protestant theology into it. But it still had a lot of the vestiges of Catholicism. Well, there were groups that wanted to take it farther. They wanted it to be more Protestant, more like the Lutherans or and some of the, you know, different groups that were really influential in Germany and in the continent, European continent. There were groups that were called the Puritans, and the Puritans started out, they wanted to purify and correct the Church of England. They wanted to fix it. They wanted to keep it, but they wanted to just fix the problems in it. There's a great many very good men in that movement, some very spiritual men, and some really, really deep devotional and theological works came from those guys. Very Calvinist, though. You gotta watch them. But, there was a lot of very good men associated with that. Well, there also were separatists. They said phooey on all of them. They said the Church of England's a mess and the Puritans are a mess, so we'll just do our own thing. And they were called separatists because they were separate from the mainline denominations. And there were many different incarnations of this in England at the time. The usual assigned date for the beginning of the Baptist movement is 1641. And by that time, it's argued that Baptists were basically what they are now in what they believed and in their practice. Most of these people hold that they, that the one of the first, the really, the founder of Baptist was a man named John Smith, S-M-Y-T-H. I told that to somebody, and he said, I don't know if I'd really want my church to be started by a guy named John Smith. That sounds like an alibi. anyway, but the man's name was John Smith, and there's an episode called the Sea Baptist episode. We'll get in a little bit into that church. His church kind of split, and actually, his church split, and part of his group ended up coming to New England in America, and they were the Pilgrims, were descendants of off that split. And I don't want to get too much into it, but John Smith actually never pastored a Baptist church on English soil. He was in Holland, I believe it was, and he was a separatist and basically got run out of England. Well, got there, got associated with some different Baptist groups, in my opinion, but got involved with some of them and developed many of his views. And he actually died there in Holland, but some of his followers came back to England and actually started the first Baptist churches in England. So, the separatist view holds that John Smith and those guys, Thomas Helwys was another one, were the founders of the Baptist movement. My major criticism of this is, I think that, they started something. I think they started English Baptist. I think Baptist started way before then. And in fact, I have it documented on my website that there were Baptists before them, because there are records of Baptists being persecuted and and being tortured and everything else before John Smith ever decided to become a Baptist. So, it's just mind blowing. They hadn't read their history books. So, but that is a very common thought. I do not like it, as I think that really devalues the Baptist name and the Baptist heritage. But it basically puts us on par or even less than other Christian groups. That gives us a human origin, that gives us a very short history, where I say we have a divine origin. We can trace it all the way back to Jesus and John the Baptist and the apostles. And let's say, I think it totally devalues the Baptist name. A few church historians who promote this view, William Whitsett is one. Now, he was very, very controversial. He led to quite a bit of controversy in his day. Study him out a little bit. But he's author of A Question in Baptist History, Whether the Anabaptists in England Practiced Immersion Before the Year 1641. Well, there were Anabaptists in England, and they were practicing immersion before the year 1641. That's a fact. Robert Torbay, that's a book I got this information out of. His book's History of the Baptists. The same thing, he holds to this view. And probably the one that you're going to see in bookstores, at least newer bookstores, more than any other one, is H. Leon Macbeth. Usually you just call him Leon Macbeth. His book, The Baptist Heritage, Four Centuries of Baptist Witness. That is the one you see the most often. It's a great big book. And in fact, there's a companion volume to it. It's a Baptist history, Baptist source book, Baptist history source book, something like that. I have it too, which is actually probably better than the other one because it has all these documents and sermons and stuff in it. But anyway, that's the one you'll see most often. And at least he's honest enough to put it right there in the title of his book. And he doesn't really even go in to defend why he believes that. He just basically says in the first couple chapters there that, you know, you're an idiot if you think Baptists existed before then. So I think he's an idiot for believing what he believes. I hope he's not too offended by that statement, but I think he's wrong, and I think he ignores some good history. He ignores a lot of fact in that position. But H. Leon Macbeth, he's actually has taught Southwestern Theological Seminary. He's Southern Baptist, so that really colors a lot of his view in that. Well, those are the three major different views: the successionist view, the spiritual kinship view, and the separatist view. Now, I know all the names and such may not mean anything to you, but that is good information to know as you're studying out Baptist history. You'll be able to spot this and spot those underlying views in people's opinions and stuff. So I think that will be a big help to you. As I say, me personally, I believe in succession. I believe that Baptists have always existed. I believe that they have always believed essentially what we believe, that there have been groups that have held to most, if not all, of the Baptist distinctives at practically every point in history. And that's, you can prove that historically. Now, I may take a little bit of a step on out in faith and say that they have always existed, but that's really not too far off historically if you study it out. But anyway, that's my personal view, and that's what's going to color all my opinions as we go through this. Well, I hope to have you again here for the next lesson. Lesson 4 we're going to deal with was the early church Baptist. Were those crazy group of guys in Jerusalem, were they Baptist? Well, we're going to look at that, and we'll prove to you from the Bible that they were Baptist. And look forward to that. And if you don't agree with me, hopefully you will by the time I get through. Appreciate your time for listening. Thanks.